Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org. Jonas, I'm going to invite you to come and read our scripture. There he is. Jonas is going to read our scripture passage for us today. You got? Yes, there you go. Great.
Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord showed around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to the God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen them, they spread the word concerning what had been told about the child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Amen. Thank you, Jonas. Wonderful job. Can we take the mic for you? All right. Thank you so much. Yeah, I wonder if anybody else knows, anybody else here knows what it feels like to be on the outside looking in. You know where you are shunned as you walk through the lunchroom, right? You see a full lunchroom and you see a table that's open and there's one seat available, and as you walk up close to it, you find out it wasn't safe for you. Or to feel the judgment as you walk through the hallways and you have the non-name brand clothes on and you get those glances from people who can afford and who are wearing the name brand. What is it? Lululemon, Lollipop, whatever it's called, right? That was probably all last year. I'm so far behind on that, yes? Or maybe you are the one who is not the first or the second or the third or the fourth, but the last pick when it comes to kickball. Or basketball, or football, or whatever the ball is. To feel and to hear and to see the giggles and the mouths that get covered up and the side turns because you know no one wants to look at the person they were just talking about. Or maybe similarly, the conversation that immediately ceases when we walk into the break room. Does anybody else here know what it feels like to be home on a Friday night or a Saturday night and somehow that invite to the neighborhood bonfire or the party with friends got lost in mail or got lost in cyberspace, just like the invite to the Super Bowl party and New Year's Eve, that also got lost? Do we know what it feels like to be the one, or at least feel like we're the only one who is doing it the way you're supposed to do it, and we're living out our morals, we're living out our convictions, we're living out God's will for our lives, and it feels like no one else is doing it, everyone else is doing what they want to do? Maybe to be embarrassed, because we're the only one who doesn't get the joke. Well, we're not in on the inside joke between lifelong friends or longtime coworkers. To be new to a community and not know a single soul, and you look out your window and you see neighbors laughing in the driveway and kids racing from house to house. to not be allowed access to the conversation because you're not old enough, or not be allowed to ride the thrill ride because you're not tall enough, or not be allowed to be entering in or be allowed to participate from something else because you don't measure up to some sort of required criteria. Or to simply be excluded from the self-determined popular crowd. Anybody else know what that feels like? Has anybody else felt what it means to be on the outside looking in, to be an outsider? If you've ever felt that way, I have a pretty good hunch you're not alone. Of all the Sunday mornings here at Westview, this is the one morning where I look out and I don't know everyone that's here. And so I don't know all of your stories. But I'm going to guess that I'll be pretty hard-pressed to find one person who hasn't ever felt like they're on the outside looking in. That whether we don't have the right clothes, or we're the only person at school who doesn't have a phone, yes? Right? Or maybe we're the only one who is living into God's will for our relationship. Or whether we feel like we don't get the invites to hang out. Or we are new and we don't know anyone. Or we don't know what's going on. And we feel like we are left out of the conversation or left out of the joke. Or we don't get the specific, whatever the specific situation is, whatever the circumstance is. Do we know these? Yes? We've felt this before? Maybe we feel it right now. We know what it's like to be on the outside looking in. We know what it is to be an outsider. Friends, I want to tell you this morning, the shepherds feel your pain. They know. They get it. They, like so many of us, know what it is like to be on the outside looking in. For this specific message, I pulled off 6 different resources off the shelf because I wanted to know more about these shepherds. I wanted to understand who they were. I wanted to understand what they were thought of. And as I read through these 6 different theological, biblical dictionary type books, I took notes of the different words that were used to describe these shepherds. You want to know what they are? Words like this. Lowly. Plain. Ordinary. 2 of the resources called them humble. One said they're looked down upon. Another said more specifically, because of the nature of their job. They're called unreliable. One resource noted that their testimony would not be received in court because their words were deemed unacceptable. Other words like rejected. Twice they were described as unclean, which in that context is almost a derogatory term. 3 times they were described as despised. And in one of them they went on to say they were despised by the Orthodox good people. The shepherds know what it's like to be on the outside looking in. The shepherds know what it looks like to be an outsider. And even in the scripture passage that Jonas read for us, there are words here that sort of set this as well, right? It says at the very beginning, there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby. Now, I'm very aware that that is part of their occupation. You don't keep a flock of sheep in downtown Bethlehem. I get that. But still, it sets the stage that the shepherds are out. They're outside. They're out of the fields. They're away from society. It's the darkness of night. And so they are quite literally on the outside looking in. They are out of town, outside the community. They're outside of the religious parameters. They're outside of contributing to the civil matters. They are outsiders. But then verse 9 comes. And verse 9 says this. An angel of the Lord appeared to them. The word there appeared means that to stand over them or to come upon them. We would say this in our vernacular today. The angel got up in their business. The angel appeared to them. to those who are on the outside of the society bubble. We are in, you're out. We're inside, you're outside. The angel burst that bubble. The angel obliterated that bubble. The angel appeared to them, got up in their business, and it says appeared to them. Who's them? To them, those shepherds, these lowly shepherds, these despised shepherds, these plain and ordinary shepherds, these rejected shepherds, these looked down upon shepherds, these outsider shepherds, the angel appeared to them. And it says that the glory of the Lord shone around them. The glory of God is shining all around these shepherds, enveloping them. Think about what that means. The glory of God is wrapping itself around these shepherds. Those who are on the outside have now been embraced. Those who are on the outside are now on the inside. And to these shepherds, the angel speaks. First calming their fears. I think if I'm them, I'm freaking out as well. But then the angel says three words. Do you see what they are? I bring you. I bring you. I, an angel of the Lord, one who has stood in the majesty of Almighty God, I bring, I am bringing, present tense, right now, in this moment, to you and to no one else, to you lowly, despised, rejected, unclean, outsider shepherds, I bring you. I am declaring to you good news of great joy. I'm bringing to you in this moment, to you, an incredible message. And I'm sharing with you a message of good news and great joy that will be, do you hear the tense change? Will be, that's future tense. A message that will be proclaimed to all the people. A message that will be proclaimed to everyone else. But the angel says, I am giving you, shepherds, the message right now. And these outsider shepherds, they get the inside scoop to the greatest headline that has ever graced this earth. Jesus is born. Jesus is born, the Savior of the world, God's anointed Messiah, the Christ, the Lord of all. The angel says, today in the town of David, a Savior is born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Listen to part of that again. Today, in the town of David, a Savior is born to you. Not just those with the fast cars and fancy clothes. Not just those who are part of the popular crowd and who get all the invites and who are always getting the attention. Not just to those who are picked first or who are in on every inside joke. The angel says, born to you. The angel declares that Jesus Christ, Savior and Lord, the gift is for the shepherds as well. He's the gift for those who are on the outskirts and on the outside. He's the gift for those who feel left out and left over. He's the gift for those who don't feel like they measure up and have been told as such. He's the gift to those who are overlooked and are often taken for granted. Jesus is the gift for the outsiders. Friends, this is good news. This is good news for all of us. Right? I said a moment ago, and honestly, I don't know all of you, and I don't know all of your stories, and I don't know how you may or may not fit in all of those society scenarios we laid out earlier. Maybe you do feel. Maybe you have felt like myself and the shepherds and others. Maybe you have felt on the outside. Maybe you know what it's like to be on the outside looking in. And maybe not. I don't know all of our society and social stories. But I do know this. I do know one thing that is true of all of us. That spiritually we all were on the outside looking in. Spiritually we all were outsiders. That because of sin, there is separation between us and God. Because of sin, we are apart from God. As the lyrics we sang earlier, this says, right? In the darkness we were waiting without hope, without light. But Jesus is the gift for the outsiders. There's this threefold proclamation that describes who Jesus is, his identity. And that's the incredible good news that is the gift that Jesus is for these outsiders, that Jesus is the Savior. He's our Savior. He's reconciling the lost. He's reconciling those who are on the outside. That word reconcile means that those who were once apart are now brought together. That's what Jesus does. He is God's anointed Messiah, the Christ, who through His life and His death and His resurrection, He is now Lord and Master of all things. There is nothing over which Jesus is not the Lord of, and that includes that sin, and that includes that separation from God. That includes us being on the outside. And so what Jesus does is He takes those who are on the outside and He brings us in, that by His saving power, He too bursts that bubble of sin and separation, and He restores us in our relationship with God. And just like those shepherds who were enveloped by the glory of God, we through Jesus Christ have been enveloped by God's love and mercy and saving embrace. We who are on the outside are brought in. And friends, I pray this morning, even though I don't know all of you today, I pray that each and every one of us here, that we know this good news and we believe this good news and we have accepted this good news, that we who are on the outside because of our sin, but because of the gift of Jesus Christ, we know that we are welcomed in. And friends, that is the good news of great joy. That's the good news of great joy, first shared with outsider shepherds and then proclaimed to all the people. That is the good news of great joy. That is the peace that falls upon all upon whom God's favor rests. That's the good news of great joy. That's the message that those shepherds run around town telling everyone they can concerning everything they heard about this child. That good news of great joy that the outsiders are welcomed in, we're all invited in, that is what leads the shepherds to return glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. Jesus is the gift for the outsiders. These shepherds, they are the epitome of what it means to be on the peripheral of society. They understand what it's like to be on the outside looking in. Maybe we relate. Maybe we understand what that's like. And we find that God surrounded them with His glory. God brought the outsiders in. And He shared first with them the good news of great joy, His great gift. Friends, there is a gift of a child born in Bethlehem. And He's born for all of us who are on the outside. And in Him we all are able to find joy and life and hope and peace. For friends, we too are invited in through Jesus the Christ, Savior and Lord of all, the gift for the outsiders. Amen. Pray with me, please. Loving God, we are so grateful this morning that Your love extends to all. That regardless of social status or economic means, that it does not matter whether we are invited to every party or picked last to play the game. God, You have no filter as to whether we get the top grades or whether we have the most people reporting to us. That no matter the various and many categories that we create in order to divide the haves and the have-nots, God, we recognize this morning that You have one category for us all. We are Your beloved. That You see us all the same, and that is through the filter of love. So great a love that even when we were on the outside, so great a love that even when we were dead in our sin, God, You moved in a most mighty and majestic way. You sent Your Son, Jesus, the Christ, to be Lord and Savior. He is Your great gift to us all. And for God, for this we say thank You. And God, would it be okay for us as well to pray and to boldly ask that as Your people relishing in this gift, that also in this season we might also manifest that same love to one and to all, that we would show and live the way of Jesus in this season and always. God, we are so grateful for the ways that we have seen Your love toward us in this past week. We thank you for protecting John in that explosion last week and bringing him home safely again. We thank you for a successful surgery for Andrea. Now bring full healing, we ask. Lord, we thank you for our church family to be the church and surround the Bills family and Blaze with our love and our prayers. We continue to pray for him, and we pray that treatments would be effective and full healing would come. God, we also thank you for all the many different things that and the many different blessings that have happened in our homes and at school, at work, and in the neighborhood, and so many things that we so easily see and dismiss, whether it's the beauty of freshly fallen snow or the smile and a wave of a child or the gift it is to just give hope in this season. For all of it and more, God, we give you thanks. God, we also ask that you would be with the things that we carry with us today. We pray for Irvin this week as he has that first stage of deep brain stimulation for the Parkinson's. We pray, God, that you would calm nerves and settle his heart and that this part of the procedure would go smooth and well. Lord, we pray for our kids today, our youth. We pray for those who will have some parts in this program here in just a moment and calm any nerves that they might have. Allow them to share boldly the great news of Christmas. Lord, we thank you for our youth that are serving today. We look forward to a time of food and fellowship. And we already pray now into the blessings of those retreats that they would grow closer in relationship with you and one another. And God, would you also hear our prayers for all the things of this season? As the song said, it is indeed the most wonderful time of the year, but it does come with its own stresses. It comes with travels and gatherings and expenses and deadlines and weather and so much else. And so in all of it, God, we pray, can we remember the true meaning of this season? That you, God, you love this world so much that you would send the great gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, that all, anyone who would believe in him would be welcomed into your loving embrace, into the gift of salvation. God, we praise you for this today, and we praise you for it always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. I'm going to take a deep breath. You can take a deep breath this morning because we're going to transition now to our Christmas program. We've got a few people who are going to be moving a few things around. We're going to set the stage here just for a little bit. And I want to say one or two quick things before we begin. I first want to say that we are grateful he's going to turn around here, Matt Boat. Matt is a member partner here at Westview Church. This program was written and directed by Matt. And so we're just delighted to have someone who had taken upon himself to say, you know what, I have an idea about a Christmas program. I want to share that with you. Avert the eyes over this way. We're good. I'm still talking. It's all good. All good. We're still very, nothing to see, right? Matt did a great job writing, directing, and so we're just so grateful that he would have this upon his heart. And so what you're going to see is all written by him. And I also have to say, Matt's pulling double duty. He's also on our youth ministry team. So all the food stuff that's going on today, he's also. So this is a big day for Matt. I think he's got more going on today than I do. So thank you, Matt, for all of this. Matt does tell me though that we have to pay attention during this program because there's something that'll happen. It's like in any good script, right? There's that. The reveal, right? Something's going to happen. So I'm told, he told me to tell you, pay attention because there will come that moment where we're like, I get it. Okay? That sound good? I think I got that all right. All right. Are you ready to go? Awesome. Very good. We'll turn it over to the kids.
What happened here, Chris? The program's going to start in a little bit, and I ruined everything. It was perfect, and now look at it. I ruined the Christmas program.
Now, Chris, it is a mess, but messes can be cleaned up. Believe me, I should know. And who said that everything is going to be perfect? It's nothing a little elbow grease can't fix. Give me a hand, and we'll have a sixth in no time.
Thanks, Gabe. I guess janitor's job is never done. By the way, when did you start working at the church?
No problem, and I've been here forever. It may seem like everything is perfect, but it's not. It's about what God wants us to see, and that's what's perfect. Take the first Christmas, for example. It was far from perfect, but God made it perfect.
What do you mean? How do you know? Were you there?
Well, Chris, can I trust you something top secret? Not even Pastor Josh knows about this.
Yes, totally.
There's a secret door in the church that can take us to any time in the Bible, and we can see just what happened that first Christmas. Come on, follow me.
Greetings, Mary. Do not be afraid. God is pleased with you. You are going to have a baby boy, and you're to name him Jesus. He will come to save the world.
How can this be? I'm a virgin.
The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God, for nothing is impossible with God.
Let it be to me as you have said, for I'm the Lord's servant.
Do you see how this was not the perfect situation?
Yeah, Mary was just a young girl, and she didn't even have a husband to help her. This all seems a little crazy to me.
Just wait, things are going to get even more interesting.
Joseph, I have something to tell you.
What is it, Mary?
An angel has come to me and told me that I'm going to have a baby. He will be the Son of God. I'm to name him Jesus.
What?
Joseph, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. What she says is true. This child is from the Holy Spirit.
Well, that's crazy. There's not a lot perfect in that story.
Yeah, all of Joseph's plans on getting married to Mary were not going as planned. Things seemed to be ruined and nowhere close to perfect. With some serious intervention from the angel, Joseph was back on board showing God's grace to Mary, and God's perfect plan was on its way once again. After this, Joseph got the news that he was going to have to take a long journey with a very pregnant Mary to his hometown to register. At their journey's end, the only place they could find was a smelly stable full of animals. Definitely not a perfect place for the Son of God to be born. Let us do a little more traveling to see how God will continue to work his perfect plan.
Do not be afraid. I have some great news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in Bethlehem, a Savior has been born. You will find him laying in a manger.
Shepherds were not exactly perfect people, but they were the perfect messengers to tell everyone the good news that the Son of God had been born. That the Savior had been born. Also, it shows God's perfect plan by using shepherds to show that Jesus' birth was for everyone.
Wow, I'm really starting to see how God's hand is at work.
You couldn't be more right about that, Chris. Let's go travel to another part of this story.
The King of Jews, we have followed a star in the east and have come to worship him.
My own scribes have told me that according to the prophets, he is to be born in Bethlehem. Go there and see if you can find him. If you do, report back to me so I can worship him too.
The wise men did indeed go to Bethlehem and find Jesus, but they didn't go back to Herod because God sent an angel and told them not to go back to him. God's perfect plan was still intact with Herod not knowing where Jesus was. Mary and Joseph were told by an angel to leave Bethlehem to Egypt.
Score one more for God. He's just all over the place, just doing his thing.
I think you're starting to really see God's perfect plan here. So I think it's time to head back home. Let's take one more trip back to Westview. So can you see how God's perfect plan worked? He used an unexpected girl to give birth to his son. He does this countless times using the unexpected to do his work. God used grace from Joseph to stick by Mary's side, just like God shows us grace each and every day. He allowed shepherds and wise men to be the first to worship Jesus, showing that this gift was for everyone, no matter what their backstory is. Then God saved Jesus from Herod so that Jesus would eventually save us from our sins and death. This is the story of imperfect things making up the most perfect Christmas story.
Wow, God had everything thought out. It's crazy to think how it may seem like everything is going wrong, but God's still in control. The Christmas story is full of examples of that.
Gabriel, it's time for you to come back and get your next job.
Okay, I'll make some finishing touches here, and I'll be there shortly. Chris, I'm glad that you can see that. The Bible is just packed full of stories like that, and if you ever have a question about any of them, I know Pastor Josh would love to talk to you about them. Or maybe we could always take another journey. It looks like the Christmas program is about to start. I better get back to work and hope you enjoy this Christmas season.
Thanks, Gabe. I can't believe you know so much, and I will definitely be looking out for God and making things perfect in His way and not ours.
Great job. Very, very good. Show me what's going on back here. I need to know about this secret place, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just teasing. I need to know about this secret place. Very, very good. Hey, great job. Thank you so much to our cast for sharing with us the Christmas story. Thank you to our singers for singing. You guys did a wonderful, wonderful job. Yeah, get out here too, Levi. Great job. And Kale, awesome job, all of you guys. Thank you so much. Levi and Micah, you guys had more lines than I think I had today, yes? Wow, he had a lot to have in the mind. So very, very good job. Can we thank them one more time and celebrate with them? They did a great job today. All right. Oh yeah, So I came yesterday to practice, and they were we were encouraging them to sing louder. And at the same time, there was a squirrel outside that they were all fascinated by. And I was told they're louder about looking at the squirrel than they were singing. And so I made a promise to them that we as Westview would adopt Timothy Esquire the third, the fifth, little. That's the whole name. I have no idea what you guys also said. But Westview has to... Oh, wait till the last name. Okay, well, we will have to look into adopting this squirrel. I'm sure we'll find him. Mm-hmm. All right, very good. But I think you guys did a great job, worthy enough for us to look into it. All right, we'll put Lucinda on that one. All right. You guys did great. What I would love to do in just a minute, I'm going to close this in prayer, and then I think you'd want us to sing one more song with you. But I want to remind you, after the program, join us across the hall. Help me out. Thank you. I appreciate that. That's okay. That's all right. Nothing for me. That's all good. We're going to invite you to come across the hall. Help me out. Are we going through the back door that way? What's the best way?
We can go through both doors.
Both doors. Okay, you can go through both doors. There'll be tables there. Might find your way. We might have some extra tables set up in here as well. Come and join us for some fun food fellowship. Thank the kids. Also, since I'm thinking about it right now, parents, grandparents, we're going to leave the kids up here. We're not just going to send them out. So you guys come up here, grab your kids or grandkids, get your pictures, do all the things so you can get your kids from here. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing together. But as I'm thinking about it as well, I also want to, again, say thank you to Matt for writing and directing. Thank you to Lucinda, who's our Director of Children's and Youth Ministry. She handles all the stuff, getting all this coordinated. Thank you to our teachers, those who led in songs, to our tech crew, to all who are involved. We appreciate all your efforts very, very, very much. So let's give God a blessing today. God, we thank you, and we celebrate the good news of great joy that was shared with us. And God, in so many ways, we recognize very, very clearly that things are not perfect. Even the Christmas story has a lot of things that are just not perfect about it. But God, we are so thankful that your love is perfect and your love is made complete, and that through the gift of Jesus Christ, you can take all the imperfections of our lives and make them whole again and make them perfect again. So we're so thankful for that, God. Thank you for these children. Thank you for their teachers, their volunteers, those who helped lead, for those who led. God, we're so grateful for all of it. We give you all the praise and glory for the good news of finding perfection in Christ, even in an imperfect world and imperfect life. So, God, we thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.